This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, Health and Healing. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by Africa News Panorama. We shall close today's program with our segment, Pilgrims of Hope. I am Festus Tarawali. The Holy Spirit is the source that fans the flame of hope. His presence in our lives helps us to both have hope and radiate it for humanity, which greatly needs it. This was how Pope Francis summarized his catechesis at Wednesday's general audience in a post on the social media platform X. Concluding his cycle of catechesis on the Holy Spirit in the life of the Church, earlier on Wednesday at the general audience in the Paul VI Hall, the Pope recalled that the Holy Spirit is the ever-flowing source of Christian hope. Christopher Wells reports.
In his catechesis, Pope Francis looked to the book of Revelation with the eschatological invocation, "Come, Lord Jesus." The hope for the final coming of Jesus is always present in the Church, the Pope said, while at the same time, the Church also expects the continuous coming of Christ in the present and pilgrim situation. Subsequently, the Church's understanding of the invocation "Come" has developed, so that now she uses it to call upon the Holy Spirit as well. It is right that it should be so, the Pope explained, because after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit is Christ's true alter ego, he who takes his place, who makes him present and operative in the Church. That, the Pope continued, is why Christ and the Spirit are inseparable.
Ecco perché Cristo e lo Spirito sono inseparabili.
Also in the economy of salvation. The Holy Spirit, moreover, is the ever-gushing source of Christian hope, Pope Francis explained, the sail that propels the Church along the sea of history. He said that hope is not an empty word or a vague desire, but a certainty based on God's fidelity and a theological virtue.
Il cristiano non può accontentarsi di avere speranza. Deve anche irradiare speranza.
Christians, he said, cannot be satisfied with having hope, but must also radiate hope, which is the most beautiful gift that the Church can give to all of humanity. I'm Christopher Wells.
In remarks at the end of his catechesis, the Pope expressed his hope that a political situation may be reached in Syria that will foster the country's stability and unity. Joseph Tulloch reports.
Speaking at the end of his weekly general audience, Pope Francis stressed his desire that, quote, a political solution might be reached in Syria, one that, without further conflicts or divisions, responsibly promotes the stability and unity of the country. Pope Francis entrusted the Syrian people to the Virgin Mary, praying that, through her intercession, Syrians might live in peace and security in their beloved land. The Pope also expressed his hope that the various religious groups in Syria, which is majority Sunni Muslim but contains substantial Shia Muslim, Christian and Druze minorities, might walk together in friendship and mutual respect for the good of the nation. This was an appeal to which the EU bishops also lent their voice. They released a statement earlier today calling for a peaceful transition in Syria and for the protection of minority rights. In just 2 weeks, the main rebel group in Syria, Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, has taken over from the Assad family, which had ruled for 53 years. And in the meantime, the Israeli army has launched more than 350 airstrikes targeting Syria's strategic weapons stockpiles. At today's general audience, Pope Francis also remembered war-torn Ukraine, Palestine, Israel and Myanmar, as he does almost every week, once again encouraging all those present to pray for peace in those countries. Let us pray that a way out might be found, the Pope said. I'm Joseph Tulloch.
Before the general audience, Pope Francis met with Cardinal Matteo Maria Zuppi, Archbishop of Bologna, Italy, and President of the Italian Episcopal Conference. Cardinal Zuppi is the Pope's peace envoy for the war in Ukraine. After that meeting, the Holy Father addressed a delegation from the non-profit organization Rescue, People Saving People. The organization saves and offers support to thousands of migrants traveling across the Mediterranean. Kelsey Gushi followed that story.
In 2021, Rescue launched its first rescue ship. Since then, they have saved many migrants from sinking in makeshift boats and offered support to those arriving in Europe.
L'azione perseguita della vostra organizzazione ha lo scopo di salvare vite umane, vite di persone in fuga da luoghi dove imperversano gravi conflitti.
In his audience with them, Pope Francis stressed the importance of their work, highlighting that the organization saves the lives of people fleeing from places ravaged by severe conflicts, which often trigger humanitarian crises and involve the violation of fundamental human rights. He recognized that in the midst of the global humanitarian crisis of forced migration, Rescue has not remained indifferent. Rather, they have taken action. Pope Francis emphasized that the heart of this action is the conviction that every human being is unique and that their dignity is inviolable, regardless of nationality, skin color, political opinion, or religion. Yet the Pope lamented that not everyone has this conviction, and many lives are exploited, rejected, abused, or reduced to slavery. He explained that oftentimes, civil authorities are unable to respond due to the vastness and complexity of the migration crisis.
Migrante va accolto, accompagnato, promosso e integrato.
Encouraging people to take action, Pope Francis left the group with a message that reflects their mission, that migrants must be welcomed, accompanied, promoted, and integrated. The Pope ended by asking for the intercession of Mary, help of migrants to continue to assist Rescue in their work. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Also on Wednesday morning, before the audience, Pope Francis met with participants in the Human Economic Forum currently taking place in Rome. In his address, the Pope noted how the meeting, dealing with important economic and social issues, is focused on the theme of human sustainability. The pursuit of a sustainable and integral human development is critical for ensuring and promoting the universal common good, said the Pope. For this reason, he continued, it is essential to place the human person at the heart of all our concerns and activities. Constant attention needs to be shown for the dignity and integral development of concrete persons in efforts to combat poverty, restore dignity to the excluded, and care for our common home, the Pope said, quoting from his encyclical Laudato Si. In a post on X marking Human Rights Day on Tuesday, the 10th of December, the Pope urged government leaders to listen to the cry for peace of the millions of people deprived of their most basic rights of life and peace due to war. His words echoed those of the European churches that urged leaders in Europe to fulfill their obligations to uphold and protect the human dignity of every human being under international law. Lisa Zengarini reports.
Marking Human Rights Day on Tuesday, Pope Francis reminded world leaders that our rights to life and peace are essential conditions for the exercise of all other rights. In a tweet posted on X, the Pope pleaded for governments to listen to the cry for peace of millions of people deprived of their most basic rights due to war, which he said is the mother of all poverty. His words echoed those of the European churches that urged leaders in Europe to fulfill their obligations under international law. In a statement, the leaders of the Conference of European Churches expressed gratitude for the progress made in protecting human rights over recent decades, but also deep concern over increasing instances of violations and neglect of fundamental human rights worldwide. Churches, as part of their mission, cannot remain silent in the face of brutal offences, systemic injustices, and the erosion of the rule of law and democracy, said the CEC's president, Archbishop Nikitas of Thyatira in Great Britain. Citing the ongoing wars in Ukraine and the Middle East and many other crises in the world, he said the European churches observe with distress how human rights of all people are coming under pressure. Violations of freedom of religion and belief, rising inequalities, discrimination, and violations of the rights of refugees, migrants, asylum seekers, and displaced persons remind us of the fragility of these achievements, he said. Assisi's General Secretary, Reverend Frank-Dieter Fischbach, therefore urged European governments and institutions to recommit to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and fulfil obligations and international law. For their part, the European churches reaffirmed their commitment to standing alongside those who suffer and amplifying the call for protection of human dignity of every human being to be upheld and protected. I am Lisa Zengarini.
In more news from the Vatican, Pope Francis has thanked the president of the Vatican Tribunal, Giuseppe Pignatone, as he prepares to retire from his role at the end of the month. The Holy See Press Office announced on Wednesday that the Pope accepted his resignation after having reached the age of 75, which is the age limit set for members of the Vatican judiciary. Pope Francis met with Mr. Pignatone on Tuesday afternoon and thanked him for the service rendered over these years. The statement from the Holy See Press Office said, adding that his resignation becomes effective on the 31st of December this year. You are tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
The government of Eswatini has expressed concern over the post-election protests in Mozambique because they are affecting its sugar industry. Eswatini's sugar is exported through the Mozambican port of Maputo. Protests began last month after the candidate of the ruling Frelimo Party was declared winner of the presidential election. The opposition says the vote was rigged. Eswatini has now decided to use expensive South African ports as alternative export routes. Reports from Ghana say police have arrested more than 100 supporters of the president-elect John Mahama over unlawful acts. According to police, supporters of the newly elected president attacked some state institutions, looted property, and engaged in disturbances that have left some police and military officers injured. Mr. Mahama has condemned the vandalism and called on outgoing President Nana Akufo-Addo and the security agencies to act decisively in addressing the violence. Mr. Mahama, an opposition candidate, won last Saturday's presidential election with 56.6% of the total votes cast. His National Democratic Congress Party has also won a huge majority in parliament. He will be sworn in on 7th January next year. Reports from Chad say France has started withdrawing its troops from its three military bases in the country. This follows Chad's decision last month to end a defense agreement it signed with France in 1960. Chadian government said it wanted to consolidate its sovereignty. The military governments of Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger have already ended similar agreements and closed all French military bases. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio. And now, our feature, Health and Healing. The World Health Organization announced last week that it had approved a new test for tuberculosis known as Expert MTBRIF Ultra after it met the preliminary requirements. The test is still undergoing research, but according to the World Health Organization, it provides fast and highly accurate detection of the microbe that causes tuberculosis, also abbreviated as TB. The microbe is a bacterium known as Mycobacterium tuberculosis. Before the approval of this new test, medical doctors have been using the following tests to detect the disease. For example, a skin test to detect if the patient's immune system has developed antibodies to tuberculosis, blood tests to find out whether certain immune system cells can recognize tuberculosis. A positive test is an indication that the patient has either a latent TB or an active TB infection. A negative result means the person does not have a TB infection. The other commonly used test is a chest X-ray to find out if the patient has irregular patches in the lungs that are typical of active tuberculosis. Medical professionals also use what is known as a sputum test. This is done by taking a sample of the mucus, also known as sputum, that comes up when the patient coughs. If the person has the TB disease in his or her lungs or voice box, the bacteria will be present in the mucus and can be detected in the laboratory. Other laboratory tests that are often asked by the competent medical doctors include a breath test, removing sputum from the patient's lungs with a special tube, urine test, and a test of the fluid around the spine and brain called the cerebrospinal fluid. We have a report about the new Expert MTBRIF Ultra test.
A potentially groundbreaking new test for tuberculosis, or TB, has been endorsed by the UN World Health Organization, WHO, as part of continuing efforts to eradicate one of the world's leading infectious killers. The test, called Expert MTB/RIF Ultra, uses molecular analysis to detect the genetic markers of the bacterium that causes TB in people's saliva. It is the first test of its kind to receive pre-qualification status from the UN Health Agency, meaning that it's passed stringent quality checks and can now be purchased by governments and UN agencies as part of their TB eradication efforts. Dr. Yukiko Nakatani, WHO Assistant Director General for Access to Medicines and Health Products, said this marked a critical milestone and underscored the importance of such groundbreaking diagnostic tools in addressing one of the world's deadliest infectious diseases. WHO said that accurate results from the test can be expected within hours, while at the same time, the technology can also tell whether a suspected TB patient is resistant to first-line TB antibiotics, such as rifampicin. This knowledge helps doctors to offer patients alternative second-line treatments such as bedaquiline and fluoroquinolones, although they are more expensive. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
Tuberculosis is one of the world's leading killer diseases, causing over 1 million deaths every year and imposing immense socio-economic burdens, especially in poor countries. Accurate and early detection, therefore, is very crucial. The disease generally affects the lungs, but it can also affect other parts of the body. It is spread from person to person through air when a person who is suffering from active TB coughs, sneezes, or spits. The cough, spit, and sneeze release the TB bacteria in the air, and when a healthy person breathes them in, they settle in the lungs and begin to grow. From there, they can move through the bloodstream to other parts of the body, especially the kidneys, the spine, and brain. Tuberculosis can be latent or active. Active TB is contagious. It becomes active when the immune system cannot control the infection, and consequently, the bacteria begin to affect the lungs and the other parts of the body. When the disease is latent, it is not transmittable, but the bacteria can become active and multiply and thus cause the infection. There are millions of people around the world who live with latent TB. The typical symptoms of active tuberculosis include chronic cough that contains blood, fever, night sweats, and weight loss. The disease is preventable and curable. Prevention involves early screening of people at high risk, because if it is detected early enough, treatment can commence when the disease is still treatable. Another preventive measure is vaccination with the Bacillus Calmette-Guerin vaccine, also known as the BCG vaccine. Tuberculosis is usually treated with antibiotics over a long period of time. However, in the past years, medical professionals have discovered that the Mycobacterium tuberculosis bacteria have developed the capacity to resist antibiotics and other standard drugs through genetic changes. This accelerates if wrong medications are used or when the patient is not taking medication as prescribed by a competent medical doctor. And with that, we come to the end of this week's edition of Health and Healing. I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime.
Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly program of news, views, and reflections on the Jubilee Year 2025.
Hello. It's another wonderful opportunity to be with you on today's segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly journey towards the 2025 Great Jubilee Year. And I'm so glad to be accompanying you on this journey. I am Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe, as you already know, and we still have with us in the studio our dear Sister Daniela, who has been joining with us on the topic, the Jubilee and the Liturgy. You are highly welcome, dear sister, to today's segment of our program. And once more, we would be happy to learn more from you through your answers to our questions. During the previous episode with you, you spoke at length about what the liturgy is all about and the part it plays in the Jubilee Year celebration, which then brings us to the question we have for you today. In celebrating the liturgy, the faithful, that is, the pilgrims, must be involved so as to make the liturgical celebration complete. What then are we, the pilgrims, expected to do in our own personal capacity in order to benefit from this Jubilee's liturgy?
First of all, when we look at Jubilee celebration according to the Old Testament, it is called the Day of Atonement, and it invites people to repair, to reconcile with God, with one another, and with the entire creation. And the people are encouraged to forgive debts owed and then leave their fields fallow for that year. What the people are invited to do stems from this. And such are what the Congregation for Evangelization has also put forward from the papal bull of Pope Francis for this year of Jubilee, which calls those things spiritual acts for pilgrims. The Congregation for Evangelization encourage the pilgrims, of course, the pilgrims of hope, to undertake pilgrimage. Not necessarily coming to Rome from all over the world, because not everybody can afford that for obvious reasons. And so, to make that possible for everybody, the Holy Father has given opportunity by creating different points all over the world, cathedrals and sub-cathedrals, where dioceses could organize and then people could have a kind of pilgrimage to meet at a definite point. And then, it's not just a matter of trekking or taking a walk for health purposes, but this is for spiritual purposes. And in this, we learn new things. We get to know one another. We get to admire and then contemplate the beauty of creation and then care for it. Then the next is to pass through the holy door. Jesus said in Gospel of St. John chapter 10, I am the door of the sheepfold. So passing through that door is like passing through Christ into the church to encounter one another in the community of the faithful. It reminds us of the church as a place of encounter, a place of reconciliation, and a place of peace. Then there is need for sacrament of reconciliation. It is very, very important at the heart of the Jubilee year to reconcile with God, your neighbor, even with yourself. Then, prayer. We need to cultivate that practice of prayer, because that is what actually brings us to the same point with God. That reconciliation, that peace, that union with God. Just having that Emmaus experience. When you have encountered God, you really do not want to let go. And then, the profession of faith. Then, lastly, when a pilgrim has gone through all these phases, we gain that full indulgence which is attached to the celebration of this Jubilee, but for those who have really participated in going through these phases.
Thank you so much, sister, for the time you spent with us in the studio and for generously answering all our questions. We hope to have you again in our studio, probably during this Jubilee Year celebration.
It's my pleasure to be here.
You are welcome. This brings us to the end of today's segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope. And I hope to meet you all again at the same time, same station, next week. I remain your companion on the journey, Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe. Jubilee Prayer.
Father in heaven, may the faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new heaven and a new earth, when, with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us pilgrims of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally blessed, be glory and praise forever. Amen.
You have been listening to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.